through and from the gospel of the grace of God, which is the mystery. God's truth given from our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ unto thee, not those, the Apostle Paul, for the grace church, which is his body, the mystery, our truth, our gospel. And we thank God for his enlightenment and illumination of this truth unto this assembly and to those that God has given, amen, to look in through the web broadcast, amen, throughout the world. We certainly praise God for his precious goodness. We thank God for the ability and the means that he has given us that this gospel is projected throughout the earth. Praise God. And we thank God for those ministers whom it has been illumined and enlightened to. One such in our midst today is Elder Sister Karen Liverman, a part of this ministerial staff, and the Lord will give his word through her unto his people, his church, Christ's body, today, the gospel of the grace of God. So without further ado, let us receive Elder Sister Karen Liverman and the gospel of the grace of God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good every day. Hallelujah. We just thank the Lord for the opportunity of coming before you with the word of truth. Hallelujah. The mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, which is the only gospel that should be preached. Hallelujah. During this dispensation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please bow your head with me for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us to congregate one more time. Hallelujah. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that are here, for those that are yet on their way, for those in our World Wide Web audience. Father, we're asking that you might open up our eyes, hallelujah, that we may behold the mysteries of the gospel of the grace of God. Give us seeing eyes, hearing ears, that we may be blessed and we may be able to hear these things and then be doers of the word, walking by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored, and we call it done in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hallelujah. When you see me coming, guess where I'm coming from. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just anchored in Ephesians and Colossians. God's not through with me there. And anytime I come, he's not going to be through with you either. Because that's where we're going to start. You know, I don't think you can get enough of Ephesians 1, 3, and 5. And I don't think you can get enough of Colossians 2, 9, and 10. Because that's a winning combination. To understand your eternal placement in Christ, to understand the right position of where salvation abides, to understand your election and your placement in sonship, those things should give you peace. Those things should help you as you walk in your daily living. To understand that you are completed in Christ, that your life is not a haphazard thing, that it's prearranged, hallelujah, in eternity before the foundation of the world, should allow you to turn your light off, should allow you to spare yourself of all the anxiety, all of the uncertainty that is in this world today. It should allow you to be able to walk by faith, the unseen, and not by sight, the turmoil around us. Oh yeah, I know you got some bad reports. I know some things are happening in your life. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm saying they're solved. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that God has already completed that thing. It's already done. You can turn your light off. No need of walking and pacing. No need of pulling your hair out and missing sleep. No need of doing those things that are, because he commands us not to be anxious. And the only way you can do that is to walk by faith and not by sight. Take yourself out of the spotlight
and shine it where it belongs, on Christ and his completed work in eternity. Hallelujah. That's where our peace lies. So, Deacon, if you'd be so kind to read as to read Ephesians 3 and 5, so we can talk about that placement in Christ. And if you could read it in the King James as well as the Greek interlinear. You know, I have my Bible marked there. And I don't know why these brothers don't have it, because they know that's where I'm coming from. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They when you see me coming, until I'm further released, I'm coming from Ephesians. I'm coming from Colossians. Hallelujah. Because that is not only what I need, but it's something that's going to help you in your development as a Christian as well.
Amen. Reading from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, beginning verse 3, King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us.
Hallelujah.
In him.
Hallelujah.
Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Hallelujah.
Having predestinated us. Yes. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
Hallelujah.
According to the good pleasure of his will.
And can you do it in the Greek interlinear, please?
Now, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 from the Greek interlinear text. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
The having blessed us in each and every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ, as he chose us in him before foundation of world to be or being us holy and unblemished before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Having predestinated us, past completed, an eternal entity. Your salvation is an eternal entity. It's not something that just happened to come about in time. Hallelujah. You existed in Christ in the body of Christ before time. And it just told you where it started. Predetermined in eternity that you would be part of the body of Christ. Can you read Colossians, please, chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, in the King James as well as the Greek interlinear?
Now, from the book of Colossians, the second chapter, beginning verse 9 of the second chapter, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Hallelujah.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are in him, having been filled, who is the head of all rule.
Hallelujah.
And authority.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as I was preparing to minister, I was looking at a document that came from Doctrinal Conference 22, Abiding in Eternal Confidence Beyond the Course of This World. I said, oh my God, Lord, this is so good. This is so great. I think they're going to enjoy this. I think they're going to get something from that. Tell me why, way later, as I was studying that, then the Lord led me to something different. And I'm going to go, by the grace of God, over the material that the Holy Spirit has for us today. Perhaps when I come again, I'll be able to do Abiding in the Eternal Confidence Beyond the Course of This World, conference number 23. But today,
we are going to be looking at the document, Living in God's Presence. That was Doctrinal Conference 22, November the 14th through 16th, 2013. That's where we're getting the document that we're going to talk about today. And it's entitled, The Holy Spirit Bears Witness to God's Beloved. What has long been debated in Christendom is the issue of what certification identifies and guarantees God's people's status in Him. The reoccurring query posed by many of God's people is, how can we know that we are saved and that we belong to God? In deliberations, there is a plethora of doctrinal prescriptions and panacea types, persuasions proffered as one's entrance and residency into salvation status of belonging to God. From this, they have arisen diverse variations of traditional and denominational tenets. What are we talking about? We're talking about what people tell you is required for salvation. Keep in mind, all these things that are prescribed are things that are done in time. And where does our salvation lie? Where does it reside? In eternity. You were saved in spite of the fact that you were taught you had to recite the sinner's prayer. You were saved in spite of the fact that somebody told you you had to confess your sins and be baptized and sit on the mourner's bench. That's what my husband told me. He said, when I asked him about salvation when we met, he said, well, I was on the mourner's bench. I said, oh my God, we got a lot of work here. You know, if he's equating his salvation to Galilee Baptist Church down in Weeksville, North Carolina, sitting on the mourner's bench. Yeah. But in times past, we were told that those things that we participated in caused us to partner with God and caused us to enter into sonship position. When in actuality, we are saved by grace through faith. What? Not of what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. We weren't saved because we were baptized by a certain formula. We weren't saved because we spoke in tongues. We weren't saved because we could just go on and on and on talking about the things and the prescriptions of man. This underlining issue is accorded to what is genuinely focused. What says the scripture? I want you to spend some time in Romans chapter 8. You know, I've spent months studying Romans chapter 8, and I'd be delighted if the pastor would do an exegesis on that chapter. Maybe the Lord will move on him, because it's so full of life for us and liberty for us as Christians. Romans 8, 15 to 17 firmly states, for you didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you did receive a spirit of adoption in which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. And if children, then heirs. Heirs on the one hand of God and heirs together on the other hand with Christ. If indeed we suffer together, that also we may be having been glorified together. Hallelujah. Our Christian walk involves suffering. Oh yeah, things are going to happen. Things are going to develop in the matrix that are not to your pleasing. There are going to be some challenges. There might be some sicknesses. There might be some loss of family. Might be some loss of things that are so-called important to us at this time. You know, and that's what life is about. However, those things that appear should not shake our confidence of who we are in Christ. And it should not let us be concerned about who's control. You know, I think back about my mother, and Pastor quotes it many times in some of his writings, about when she was about to have this surgery. It was pretty, it was life-threatening, you know. And she was sitting there, he and I were in there, cool as all the monitors were just even. She was just cool and calm. And he said, you know, Mother, you're pretty calm. She said, well, Pastor, didn't you teach us that it's already done? She said, why should I be sitting here worrying about something that's already done? And you know what? That should say something to us as we travel through life. That whatever appears, it came to pass. That's the reason it appeared. It shall pass. Hallelujah. And then whatever the outcome is, we are victorious because we're victorious in Jesus. Thus, salvation isn't in any eternal sense a resolution made at some point in time, but manifestly testimonial journeys in developmental identification with God's Spirit. I want you to think about that phrase. Developmental identification with God's Spirit. It's talking about growing in grace, growing in knowledge of who you are in Christ and what He did for us through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's something that you just missed a place to shout about. You know, in my community where I teach, we talk about developmental loss, developmental discipline, developmental growth, and we base things on the Piaget model. He's a theorist, and he, even in the United States and maybe some other places throughout the world, we have children that come in and you start in kindergarten, you don't start a 5-year-old in fifth grade, you start them in kindergarten. And then they master those skills and they move up and they move up and they move up. And that's how it is in growing in grace as well. As you obtain knowledge through the Holy Spirit of who you are in Christ, you will be able to develop in the identification with God's Spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You won't be moved by the things you see and the things people say. You'll be moved by who you are in Christ and what He has done for you. Hallelujah! So I love that. Developmental identification with God's Spirit. That's part of your journey. The essence of salvation's venue is in eternity, which is everlastingly one son positioning in Christ. Definitively, salvation is one's eternal relationship with God, and as such, one solely knows by God's Spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit bears witness with and to our spirits that we are children of God. It is in this sense that we are aware that we are strictly God's choice as we walk in the light of His foreordination. So you got to know about foreordination, predetermination. Hallelujah. We must also be attentive of His witness beyond proclivities of our sinful nature. This knowledge is in fact encouragement to identify with His righteousness rather than our depravity. This holy eternal separation conviction leads to what truly receiving the witness of salvation from the Holy Spirit demonstrates. This testimony is the solidarity, reliable evidence as to who belongs to God. Did you know that the foolishness of the preaching of the cross is foolish to those who are not called? The preaching of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cleansing of your sins, is foolishness to them that are blinded, to them that are the non-elect. Except the Holy Spirit draw you, you cannot come. So, if you are drawn, if the teaching of the cross, if the Word of God, hallelujah, if this is dear to you, it's because the Holy Spirit has caused it to be dear to you. Hallelujah. If you come, it's because the workings of God, which were laid out in His eternal plan, His eternal decree, is operating in your life. How many times have we invited our loved ones to come and to hear the preaching of the Word? They don't want to take the time because the Holy Spirit has not drawn them. And you know what? In spite of our best efforts, in spite of our fasting and praying and, whatever we do to move God in our direction that we want, it ain't happening. If the Holy Spirit is not drawing that person, they cannot come. They cannot come. Hallelujah. The scriptures convey that one must not believe every spirit that bears witness, but test the spirit to see if it is really the Holy Spirit's instructions for assurance of salvation. Insertions of human participation are counterfeits. I'll say that again. Insertions of human participation are counterfeits of the Holy Spirit's witness, and thus characteristically that they specify the false works assurance of salvation. Right. Hallelujah. When we insert ourselves and shine the spotlight on us. It's man's way of saying, I've got some power and control. And you don't. God is sovereign. He has complete control. And make no bones about it, he's not sharing anything with you. You know, even on my way to church this morning, I saw a car as I went to pick up my sister, and it said, God is my co-pilot. Oh, my God. Now, isn't scared to put me in charge of anything? Don't you know it's scary? Do you know I am slippy and fly by night? What I believe today, I might not consider it anything tomorrow, but I'm co-piloting with God. I'm calling some shots. Hallelujah. God forbid. No, 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 no. Make no bones about it. He's completely in control. Even when things look like they're out of control, God's got it. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. Hallelujah. I'm loosey-goosey. And if you admit it, you are too. Maybe you had too much pizza to eat last night. Hallelujah. You know, anything could happen. The reason that you're kind of off course. But then you think that you are piloting with God. Oh, no, no, no. In such illusionary persuasion, and it's illusionary, many are doctrinally deceived, and therefore the masters of depravity's disguise, while being convinced that they are true Christians through their meritorious involvement. See, you know, you're a Christian because you do this, or because you don't do that. Hallelujah. Do you know any good that you do is not about you? It is all about him. Because the scriptures very plainly tell us, in the flesh dwell what? No good thing. No good thing. So when people, when you are doing something, I tell people all the time, if you catch me doing right, it's God moving. It's not me. It's not me. It's God moving. That's why when people say, you know, oh, good job, I say, God is good. God is good. I elevate him. I put him, the spotlight on him where it belongs. Because I know about me. And if you are honest, you know about you. Yeah, you know. Hallelujah. You know. Conversely, the Holy Spirit's witness is consistent with God's decree, which doesn't in any wise contradict the scriptures, but bears witness as to who belongs to God. Works sown to the flesh merely convict its contributors of sin by the Holy Spirit. Those doctrinally misled into propagating humanly meritorious roles repetitively ignore Christ's eternal sacrifice in favor of tingling their conscience for interdeterminate amounts of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know, viewing salvation from the eternal plane where it always resided will give you freedom and peace. Not freedom to sin, but liberty to walk by faith, knowing that God is in control. Again, no co-piloting. It's all about God. These categorizations of Orthodox Christians are depicted in fleshy appeals, heeding the seducing spirits of self-worthiness instead of God's righteousness. Yeah, you hear people say, oh, you know, I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I don't do this. I don't, what did Pastor, what did you say? I don't chew. What is that you say? I don't chew and rub and, well, somebody was telling him, you know, he was in a testimony meeting promoting his self-righteousness. Yeah, yeah. I'm not chewing, chew tobacco or something, you know. But anyway, he was like elevating himself. And the Bible says already that we're all sinners saved by grace. Hallelujah. So now if I'm not smoking, it ain't because I ain't lying. If I'm not drinking, it ain't because I ain't smoking or doing something else, you know. Because in the flesh dwell no good thing. None of us have a horn to toot. Such reliance on human effort can never quench the thirst that the Holy Spirit lures in Christ's worthiness. Hallelujah. These flawed impressions of merit are intrinsically the preferences of depraved humanity, yet such inevitably remnants of uncertainty, not in a saved but unholy state. The scriptures state that without holiness no man will see the Lord, but the context of such separation is inherently a sign rather than renounced due to the lack of performance. Your holiness is his holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been imputed unto you his righteousness. The Bible plainly says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Nothing you can do can ever clean you up. Nothing you can ever do can ever fix you up. Nothing you can ever do can ever make you worthy. Hallelujah. But we can stand in the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. We can stand in the cleansed through the blood of Jesus, which he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Hallelujah. Causing us to be in right position in him. In spite of our flesh. Hallelujah. Now, am I making excuses? Absolutely not. As you know better, you do better. Romans chapter 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is, oh no, God forbid. Saints, walk in the light as the light is revealed. Hallelujah. As the light is revealed by the Holy Spirit. He's ministering to you. He's telling you, listen to him and get on the right road. Hallelujah. Human work efforts are crude counterfeits of the assurance of the Holy Spirit and incur constant security problems in seeking to explain away what are misconstrued as vague scriptures. What is commonant with such flawed teaching is anointing is a conferring by the interference of power rather than its precise definition of eternal predetermined choice, which focuses on eternal resolutions. Hallelujah. Based on the fact that God is in control, he is directing your life, you can turn the light off. Yeah, you can. It is a fact that many who regard themselves as Christians live mostly to please their flesh because they have faith chiefly in that day they prayed the sinner's prayer rather than their eternal son positioning in Christ. They are more convinced by what they did in time rather than what God did in eternity. Hallelujah. That's because in many times, Christ is the sideline. Hallelujah. He's not the main event in your life. Yeah, yeah. You're looking and overwhelmed by your horizontal living and not your vertical viewing. Hallelujah. We want to be in the spotlight. Yeah, yeah. So if you move yourself out the way, Christ can rise in your life. Hallelujah. And you can be more conscious of his presence and his indwelling. The false assurance that they are right with God through their efforts abode eerily when this is actually gauged in accordance to the righteous requisite of perfection. Such indulgences is invariably and collarily of stirring insecurity for those that practice due righteousness assessments of themselves. I'm not as bad as this one because I. I'm not like this one because I. I could never do this because I. Do you know you are capable of every sin? You can never say what you never would do. You can't judge other people. You don't know what you do or what you say. Think about Peter in the garden. When the guards came to take Jesus, what did he do? Pulled out the sword, cut the guard's ear off. And Jesus told him, hey man, put the sword away. Those that live by the sword die by the sword. Oh, he was so faithful. And he was going with Jesus down to the end. And then what happened is he was following him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Didn't the little girl say, oh, he was one of them. He said, oh, not me. I don't know the man. Yeah, yeah. And what was the prediction? That the cock would not crow three times before he denied him. And he did, three times he denied him. And then the cock crowed. And it brought into his memory what was said. And he had done it. He did. Now, in the garden, he's going to cut the man's ear off and defend him to the end. And then later on, he denied him along with the others. So don't ever say what you won't do. Peter walked with Jesus, and he stumbled. We are all subject to error. So don't compare yourselves by yourselves, among yourselves, because it's not wise. Hallelujah. The genuine witness of the Holy Spirit is never in agreement with works righteousness. And I'm going to repeat that. The genuine witness of the Holy Spirit is never in agreement with works righteousness. The Holy Spirit is never going to move you to elevate yourself. Never. The Holy Spirit always elevates who? God. The author and the finisher of our faith. Not you. If you do be good, it's because of him and not because of you. Hallelujah. When sin grievances against the flesh are the basis as to whether one was either not truly saved to begin with or in the process of falling away from the true faith, then all are predictably lost. Hallelujah. Sin indeed grieves the Holy Spirit, and we reference Ephesians 4:30, but it is the sinful nature that renders separation, which is severed by eternal election. And Deacon, can you turn to Romans chapter 7? We're going to look at chapter 7, and I've given you the scriptures. You know, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, he wrote all of the doctrines of grace, all 14 epistles, wrote a lot of them in prison. And he was rejoicing in prison. And you say, oh my God, how did he do that? He was walking by faith. He was trusting in the Lord. He was realizing that his life was completed in Christ, and where he was where God intended him to be, doing what God intended him to do. Yeah. And he struggled. And this is what he writes in Romans chapter 7. Reader, please read.
We're reading from the 7th chapter of Romans, King James Version, beginning verse 18. Paul writes, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me."
Amen. And can you then read the last part?
Now, Romans, same chapter, mm-hmm. verses 24 through 25. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin."
Amen. That struggle between the flesh. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" Christ has delivered him and has delivered us. Hallelujah. When? In eternity. And can you do Romans chapter 8? Because see, we know that we separate the scriptures by chapter and verse, but it was one letter. And then we go from chapter 7, that old wretched man who shall deliver me, into Romans chapter 8 verse 1. And can you please read it in the King James as well as the Greek interlinear?
Now Romans chapter 8 verse 1, first from the King James Version. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit."
Now, Greek interlinear.
Now, Romans chapter 8 from the Greek interlinear text at verse 1. Now condemnation to the in Christ Jesus, period.
If you look in your Bible, the King James, that last section of walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit, that was in italics because it was added. See, that's why we use the Greek interlinear along with the King James, because it gives you a truer meaning. The fact that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, period, was too much for the King James writers. They said, oh my God, this is too much to be true. This just can't. So they put a condition on it. And what does the condition do? It magnifies your works and your part, when in actuality, it's all about him. You have no part in your righteousness. You have no part in your positioning in Christ. You have no part, hallelujah, in walking by faith. It is all about him and not about you. And that's what Romans chapter 8 verse 1 in the interlinear tells you, that it's no condemnation, period, because the price has been paid with the blood of Jesus in the eternal working of God. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah! For you and you and you. You can't add anything to it. Take can't take nothing away from it. Hallelujah. Y'all missed the place to shout, so I just shout myself happy. Hallelujah. 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 It is all about Him. Hallelujah. And His finished work in eternity on your behalf. Hallelujah. This is very important to distinguish because none perfectly walk in the Spirit. Human depravity preferably souls to the flesh rather than the Spirit, but God's gracious promise and provision for cleansing unrighteousness are tied to Christ's faithfulness rather than the sinful nature. In testimonial identification, confessing and forsaking of sin practices are grace commands. Yet, as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus unconditionally cleanses us from all sin as we continue to receive the blessed witness of the Holy Spirit that we are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit's witness to our spirits that we are God's children is so precious and reassuring. The commands to grieve not the Holy Spirit and quench not the Spirit are expressed in testimony of the assurance of salvation and directly associated with the identification of Christ's faithfulness. Conclusively, it is the Holy Spirit's witness that certifies God's children rather than works righteousness seeking to counterfeit the true witness of the Holy Spirit by the religious decrees. Genuine faithfulness is sourced from Christ, which solely meets the criteria of salvation, whose recipients have received the spirit of adoption into the family of God. Such ones are privileged to call God Abba, a term of endearment akin to daddy. Belonging to God imbues heirs of God that belong to Christ together with Him. Consequently, such ones know that assurances in the present aren't based on comparisons of human worthiness, but the glory revealed as the Holy Spirit bears witness that we are His beloved. Who the Son sets free, they are free indeed. As you grow in developmental identification with God's Spirit, you will grow in grace and grow in peace. Viewing life from the vertical plane of our position in Christ and what God has done for us through His eternal plan of salvation should bring peace to our daily lives. Saints, walk by faith and not by sight.
Walk by faith.